Get ready to be lifted to a higher dimension as you listen to this prophetic and practical teaching. Your life will never remain the same. The entrance of the word brings light. So get ready for a fresh word that will bless and encourage you. And now, here is your teacher.
There is no devil that will stop a man that God has decided to move from a kind of life, a kind of position, to another kind. Jesus said to the Pharisees, to the elders and to the rulers and the priests, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it. And they looked at Jesus and said, this small boy must be crazy. Took our father Solomon 7 years to put this structure together. How dare you say that in 3 days you would be able to break it down? They didn't understand that what it took a man 10 years to build, it doesn't take God any time or anything to rebuild. Of course, they didn't know he was talking about his death and his resurrection. But somewhere close to the time of his death, they got to know. When Jesus died and was buried, some of those priests went to Pilate and said to him, we understand that this boy said he was going to resurrect 3 days after he's buried. Make sure that you send soldiers to keep watch over his grave so that he won't resurrect. In order that our second mistake will not be greater than the first one. Pilate bought into their idea, and people were hurriedly trained to man watch the tomb that Jesus was buried. They were given strict instructions not to sleep, not to be careless, but to be watchful and very vigilant, that in case he rises up again, kill him the second time. And they were heavily paid for that duty. And I'm sure that while those guys were watching the first night, the job was very easy. There was no sign that Jesus was going to resurrect. On the second night, the job was also very easy. There was no indication. The graveside was not cracking. There were no openings around the tomb. And nobody showed up to register any form of protest as to why he hasn't resurrected. So I'm sure that after 2 days, the soldiers gained confidence in their job. And they must have said within themselves, at least we will get back home and report to them that we kept the watch and he didn't resurrect. But on the third day, God sent his angel. Because that was the day of transformation. That was the day that it was written that the Son of Man shall rise up with glory and with power. And guess what happened on that day? The soldiers who were trained not to sleep all of them fell asleep. Soldiers who were trained not to be careless, all of them became careless. Soldiers who were trained and paid not to be weak, all of them became weak. And the Bible says they were as dead men. And Jesus resurrected in power and in glory. I could see Jesus coming out of the tomb, and all the soldiers are lying down, almost dead for sleep. And Jesus walked on them and went and appeared before his disciples. When it is time for transformation, even the worst of enemies will not stop you. And I trust the Lord on your behalf that you will be turned into another man. Genesis chapter 2, where we read verse 7 last week. God knew that Adam was not good enough at the level of a formed man. God knew that even though Adam was created, Adam was formed, but he wasn't good enough at that level. God knew that there was something Adam still needed that will only come from him. And I said here, no matter what you have physically by birth or by parentage in this world, there is still a dimension that only God can bring that will make you unbeatable on the earth. No matter what you have physically, no matter what you have by your parents or from your parents, no matter what you possess because of the background you come from, no matter what you have because of how educated you are, there is a dimension about you that only God can bring. And when God brings it on you, you become unbeatable on the face of the earth. Because if you become a medical doctor, you can find another doctor that is better than you. If you build a world-class hospital, it's a matter of time another person will build a world-class hospital that beats your own. If you are driving the best of cars, it's a matter of time another person will buy a model that is newer, that is finer, and that is more complicated and more complex than your own. But there is something about God. There is something in God that when he brings on you, that when he puts inside you, you simply become unbeatable in the class, unbeatable in your organization, unbeatable in your family, unbeatable in the world. Your size may not change, your color may not change, but there is something inside of you that will make the whole difference. That is what David had. The Bible says, God said to Samuel, go to the house of Jesse, for there I have chosen for myself a king. And Samuel anointed himself, got himself ready, carried the anointing oil box, and he's on his way to Jesse's house. And when he arrived, Jesse brought forth all his bouncing good children, looking very tall, looking very presentable. But out of the eight of them, he had already sent David far for work. But the Bible says that they began to appear one after the other, Abinadab, Shammah, Eliab, one after the other. But God kept rejecting them. God kept rejecting them. God kept rejecting them. Even though there was one that Samuel accepted from his heart. But God said, no, I have not chosen him. Because there is something I have put in a man somewhere. The man may not be in the house now, but he is in the bush. But wherever he is, it's not a problem. I've already chosen him. Right now, you may be walking in the bush. Right now, you may be walking behind the backside of the desert. But there is something that God will bring on you, and it will cause you to come forward. When God rejected all those that were presented and presentable, they were looking for the candidate.
And Samuel say, is there not any one of your sons anymore? Can this be all the children you have? Because I heard God very well. He told me the king is in this family. I heard God very well. He never makes mistakes. He called the name of Jesse and told me that he has appointed a king in the house of Jesse. Jesse, are all these your children? And Jesse said, no. These are the best that I have. These are the ones that could possibly ascend the throne of Israel. These are the ones that by my thinking, by my knowing, they will be able to do the job. All the same, there is one left, which I am too sure that if God rejected this one, that one also may not pass the test. His name is David. He's walking right now with the sheep. And Samuel said, go and get him, for no one will sit until he comes. Everyone will stand until he arrives. And the message went to David, come quickly. They are waiting for you. They are looking for you. And can I say prophetically to someone here that soon good things will wait for you to arrive. I said good things will wait for you to arrive. That will not be because of your name. That will not be because of your certificate. But it will be because of the hand of the Lord. The hand of the Lord. Can I say to you that God doesn't choose by height. He doesn't choose by grammar. He doesn't choose by education. He chooses from the heart. And they said to David, come. Come, they are waiting for you. David had no time to prepare. He was in the bush. So there was no time for him to put on the best of clothes. There was no time for him to put on the best of shoes. But all the same, he had to appear in the gathering where those who prepared for the ceremony were rejected in the ceremony. But the one who never prepared for the ceremony was the one that was actually accepted. Can I prophesy to you that God will place a divine advantage on you? Huh? Divine advantage. Because he's interested in turning you into someone else. And there and then, David showed up. He showed up the way he was. As rugged as he was. Unprepared as he was. Uneducated as he was, untrained as he was, unskilled as he wasn't prepared for the occasion because he was not invited for the occasion. Now, when God is in the business, he can make you take the seat that you were not prepared for. Turn into another man. And he showed up. The moment David landed by the door, God thundered. The same voice that said no to Eliab. The same voice that said no to Abinadab. The same voice that said no to Shammah. That same voice as David landed. The voice thundered. He said, behold, he is the one. Arise and anoint him. May I say to you that your neighbor was rejected does not mean you will be rejected. That your brother couldn't make it does not mean you will not make it. That your sister's failed doesn't mean that you will also fail. The same voice that said no to Eliab was the same voice that said yes to David. And Samuel arose and anointed him. And the Bible says from that time forward, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. He was anointed in the midst of his brethren. Today, in the midst of everyone hearing the sound of my voice, I declare there is something turning around in your life. Oh, there is something turning around in your life. Another man dimension of you. Look at what God did to the man in Genesis chapter 2. And God breathed. And God breathed. You see, you don't breathe without an effort. If you want to resuscitate a fainting person, you are going to exert some energy and pour your breath. God looked at the formed man lying down lifeless. He had two hands, but he was still lifeless. Had two legs, but he was still lifeless. Had two eyes, but he was still lifeless. And that describes some people's situation. Educated, but still miserable. Beautiful, but still not lucky. Working, but not achieving anything. God looked at the breathless and the lifeless man that he created. And the Bible said, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. He transformed from being a formed man to becoming a living soul. What a transformation. From being the formed man from the beginning, he became a living soul. No matter what you have achieved, God still has something you haven't got. God still has something that can turn you into someone bigger. God still has something that can turn you into someone better. God still has something that can turn you into someone greater. God still has something that can make you better than what you are. No man ever met God and remained the same. Every time you meet with God, there is a plus in your life. Every time you meet with God, there is a plus in your life. It doesn't matter how many pluses you had before coming, but when you meet with him, there is something he will add to your life, that when you leave, someone will know that you met God. So you need him. You need him no matter what you are achieving. Meeting God at any point in time in a man's life is a plus. You never meet God and reduce. You can never be the best on your own. No. So why not let him bring out the another man dimension in you? There is a you inside of you that only God can get out of you. There is a you inside of you that only God can get out of you. So you will need to allow him to get it out of you. Your father cannot do it. Your mother cannot do it. If David was left to Jesse alone, everything that Jesse saw in the life of David was a shepherd boy. But there was a you inside of David that God saw. And it was only God that could bring that you inside of David. When David was anointed, the spirit came upon him that he could confront a lion. I can announce to you that you can be better. You can be better than where you are. You can be better. The best education will offer you will still leave you as a man. The best your company can offer you won't make you a god. Doesn't matter how much you earn and where you are working. The best your company can give you will still not make you a god. There is a God that is greater than all on earth. One day King Nebuchadnezzar, who was so powerful in his day that he could enter anywhere and brush down nations. He could enter anywhere and bring captives, including the people of God, the chosen, the Israelite. He took them into captivity. The Bible said one day he rose up and he was walking at the balcony of his house. And he said to himself, "Is this not Babylon that my hands have made? Is this not Babylon that my power has made?" He arrogated everything he achieved to his strength, to his skill, to his power. He looked at Babylon. He said, "Out of my authority, out of my greatness, I've been able to enlarge the coast of Babylon. I've been able to make Babylon big. Kings are serving me as my servant. Even the nation of Israel was not spared." And while he was walking, God turned that from heaven and said, "Nebuchadnezzar, I will show you that there is something in me that can make the best man to become better. There is something in me that if I put it in a man that has achieved everything, he will still have more to achieve." And he sent Nebuchadnezzar to the forest. The Bible says 7 times passed over him. If you notice, the Bible says his fingers became like the fingers of the animals. His hair became like the hair of the animal. But God retained his face. Hallelujah. God retained his face. His face didn't turn to the face of the lion. Every other part of his body became the part of the body of an animal. But God retained his face. The reason was so that men can still recognize him and know that this used to be the king of Babylon some time ago. But now this is what God has turned him into. And when 7 times passed over him, God returned him to his normal senses. And he came back and said, now I know that there is a God that lives in heaven. He is the one that raised kings up. And he is the one that brings kings down. I'm speaking in case there is a man who claims to be the all and all. And he's saying to you, without me, you can't go anywhere. If I don't help you, you cannot be helped. I've come to announce to you that there is a God who sits in heaven. There is a king who raised kings up, and he also knows how to bring king down. If there is a king that is against your being turned to another man, there is a king that is greater than that king. Whether in your village, in your community, in the place where you walk, the same God that turned Nebuchadnezzar and made him to say, now I know, I didn't know before, but now I know that there is a king. Now I know there is a king. I feel in my spirit right now to talk to 5 persons that are listening to me. Every man under the sound of my voice, whose right, whose promotion, whose next level is in the hand of a man or a woman. And the man and the woman is priding himself or herself. And is saying, I have dealt with you for 10 years now. Is there anything you can do for yourself? I've come to announce to you, standing in the place appointed by the anointing, that the King of heaven will dethrone that king and put you where you belong. Where you belong. 5 of you here, that prophecy is your own. If you believe it, receive it. Thank you, Jesus. He said to Rebecca, there are 2 nations in your womb. Even when Rebecca didn't know their names, but he said, there are 2 nations in your womb. The both of them shall be great, but the older one shall serve the younger one. I speak to you listening to me. You have stayed too long where you are. God said, I shall announce to you the time for you to move is now. If that your man is better, you can get it now. Somebody shout aloud, amen. Help me tell your neighbor, I am turning. Tell him again, I am turning into another man. Into another man. Into another man. Put your hand on your chest. Tell yourself, I can be better. I can be better. What God offers is different. God doesn't offer what the world offers. God doesn't just offer position. What God offers turns you into another man. Your color may not change, but your audacity and your authority will change. Hallelujah. Your color may not change, but your authority, your audacity will change. There was a time that Peter was just a fisherman. There was a time that Peter was just an ordinary man. But when he met with God, and God turned him into another man, the Bible says he will pass, and his shadows will heal those who are sick. His color didn't change. His name didn't change. But his audacity changed. There was a time that even the fishes in the water could frustrate Peter. But there was a time that when Herod arrested Peter, God didn't need an army. He sent an angel. And the angel came and tapped Peter and said, rise up, carry your clothes, wear them, because we are taking a walk out of the prison. Someone here, you will take a walk out of the prison. Oh, you think I'm smiling? You will take a walk out. The angel tapped Peter and said, you are no longer ordinary. We are taking a walk out of the prison. So when God puts that in you, it changes your audacity. When you begin to talk, it's different from how you used to talk before. You can look at the sick person and say, God will heal you. And you go your way. And it is done. It will change your audacity. Your height and your size may not change, but your spiritual status will change. It will affect your courage. It will affect your scope. It will affect the sphere of your influence. It will affect the totality of your being. When God puts it inside of you, the way you go about doing things will change. You don't become another man by plastic surgery. You don't become another man through cloning. You don't become another man by transgender oppression. The best of plastic surgery can change your look, but it will not change your look. You can do plastic surgery and change your face, but it still will not change your look. So somebody may be fair and decide to carry on plastic surgery, and they give him a black skin, but that still has not changed anything in the spiritual. So the best plastic surgery can offer you is a change of look, but not a change of look. It is only God that can change your looks and also change your look. It is only God that can make you look different and make you feel different. But you can feel different and don't look different. You can look different and don't feel different. But when God is involved, oh, you don't become another man by transgender oppression. You may change the way you appear, but you don't change your internal makeup. But there is a God that when he speaks, even your bones will respond. There is a God that when he speaks, even witches and wizards will respond. The man who changes from being a woman to becoming a man has not changed anything spiritual. The enemies that is fighting him is still fighting him. But there is a God that will shut the mouth of the lions. And Daniel said, God sent his angel and they shut the mouth of the lion. Amen. So don't go for plastic surgery. Go for spiritual surgery. It's the only one that can turn you into another man. It takes God, who knows that dimension of you, to get it out. The devil is in the business of turning people into what they ought not to be. But there is a God that can put you where you belong. Genesis chapter 27 verse 36. And then we read chapter 32, 24 to 30. There is something very strong in my spirit today. Genesis chapter 27. Another man dimension. And he said, is he not he rightly named Jacob? Jacob the grabber. Jacob the one who takes things by force. Jacob the one who will need to cheat people to progress. For he had supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright. And behold now, he has taken away my blessing. He said, hast thou not reserved a blessing for me? Now I'm taking us to Jacob. By this time, Jacob must have been tired of bearing the name Jacob. Every time the name Jacob is mentioned, there is something bad he has done. Every time the name Jacob is mentioned, someone else is crying. When Jacob enters your house, there is no way something will not miss in your house. When Jacob enters your life, something vital must leave you. And Rebecca came back home and was waiting for these two nations to come out. And while they were coming out on the delivery date, Esau came out first. And they saw the hand of Jacob on his knee inside the womb. And they said, there's no better name to give to somebody like this. Let's call him Jacob. And the whole of his destiny was summarized into a bad name. Every name you are bearing that doesn't look like who you ought to be. God change it today.
Amen.
Jacob, the grabber. So when Jacob meets with you, there is something he will take from you. And Esau said, is he not rightly named Jacob? Is that not his name? Is there anyone whose name is synonymous with failure? Your name is synonymous with trial and failure. Your name is synonymous with near success syndrome. That even your parents know that the attempt you are making, you are not going to succeed because you have tried it 5 times and it didn't work. They know. So when they hear that you fail, they will say, we are not surprised. I knew you were going to fail. Are you not my son? Are you not my daughter? I knew it. I knew. Are you here? Your wife even knows that whatever you are doing will still not succeed because you have done it 8 times and it didn't work. And when you return to tell her, my dear, it didn't work, she will say, why did you even try it? Hallelujah. There are some people that failure have so baptized them that today they are afraid to start something. So even when they have to do something, they will go behind someone and say, please come and do this thing for me. Let it be your name, because my own, every time I do, whatever I do, don't succeed. So they end up becoming second fiddle. Someone have to do it for you before it succeeds. In case you don't know, there are people like that now, that they don't use their company name to ask for a job anymore, because every time they attempted it, it didn't work. So when a job offer comes, they look for a friend who will use his own company name, but he will do the work. Is he not rightly named Jacob? They called him Jacob and they changed his person to become a man who will have to struggle. If you are going to have it, you need to fight for it. If you are going to have it, you need to struggle for it. Esau said, these two times, he has done the same thing. He must have been tired of bearing Jacob. But in Genesis chapter 32, verse 24, he met his another mind dimension. And Jacob was left alone. He was with his father's blessing, but the reproach of his name was still on him. Laban's house was a house of tricks. When he entered, Laban played him the first trick. And I'm sure that he didn't know who he was joking with. Praise God. I need Rachel. And Laban gave him Leah. But he didn't know that he just met with a man who had a black belt as far as trick and smartness was concerned. And Jacob stayed in his house 20 years. And all the sons of Laban said, ever since you entered our father's house, you have moved all our father's property to yourself. 20 years. He had 2 wives, 13 children, 12 boys, 1 girl. 20 years. He had over 4 handmaids. 20 years, he had a lot of things. And Jacob was going back. He entered as a Jacob and was returning as a Jacob. And while he was on his way, he had news that Esau was coming. Esau was coming. And Jacob became very afraid. And the Bible said he was left alone there. He wrestled with a man. While he was left alone, the Bible said he wrestled with a man until the breaking of the day. Jacob would not give up. He fought with the man. He said, this thing must end. My name is Jacob, and all I do to succeed is that I will have to twist the truth. All I do to succeed, it's like I will have to turn another man's back. Something must be different. And the Bible says in the next verse, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, He touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint. You see, there are some of us that God must need to break something before you become normal. Praise God. Because you can't serve him the way you are. And the Lord touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he rested with him. Verse 26. And he said, "Let me go, for the day break it." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." Verse 27. Where is the blessing? And he said unto him, "What is your name?" Amen. That's the another man dimension. What is your name? And thank God for Jacob. He said, "My name is Jacob." At that time, the name didn't sound presentable, but all the same, Jacob presented it the way it was. What is your name? My name is Jacob. Because there are a lot of pretenders in the presence of God. If you pretend before God, I don't know who you will become original to. Because there are too many pretenders before God. The one to whom everything is exposed. You are still trying to cover certain things. Don't be like Adam. Adam, where art thou? I'm hiding somewhere. Why are you hiding? I'm naked. He didn't know that God saw his nakedness even before he became naked. Praise God. What is your name? He didn't say, "My name is Jephthah." He didn't say, "My name is Moses." Moses would have sounded religious, would have sounded right. But my name is Jacob. I am as bad as you have seen me. My name is Jacob. I am as messed up as you have seen me. And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob." Another man's dimension. God turning him into another man. He said, "From now, your name shall no more be Jacob, but what? Israel." This was what it ought to be from the womb. This is where you ought to have started from. But one beautiful thing about God is that no matter how far you have gone in the wrong road, if you can raise your hand and say, "I want a U-turn," he can help you make a U-turn. You can't go too far on the wrong road. As soon as you know it is the wrong road, make a U-turn. And when he came to himself, the Bible speaking about the prodigal son, he said, "How many hired servants has my father? They are eating and drinking. And how come I'm suffering here in thirst and in hunger? I will arise and go to my father the way I am. I will arise and go to my father and tell my father I have messed up." The problem with a lot of persons is that they don't want to accept that they have messed up. They have developed their ego so much that they can't say sorry to God. But he arose and went back. And Jacob said, "I am Jacob." And the angel said, "From now, Jacob dimension is ending. Israel chapter is open. No more shall you be Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." From that time, everything about Jacob came to an end. And another man dimension started with the name Israel. Check his result from that time, and you will find out that his result was too different from what it used to be as a Jacob. Would you allow him to bring out that dimension in you? Because the one who put it there, he knows how to get it out. But will you give him the permission? Will you let God? In John chapter 1, the Bible says, "As many as received him, unto them he gave power." power to become. We allow him. Or are you saying, I am okay at where I am? God, I want to serve you, but let me do it with one boyfriend. God, I want to serve you, but allow me to still be able to forge signatures. God, I want to serve you, but only if you will allow me to enter with two wives, one by my right and one by my left. God, I love you, but only if you allow me to enter with my pride. God, I love you, but I can't give my titles away. I love you, but you see, this is my status, is what makes me. I can't do without it. But God is saying to you, if you let me, I will bring that dimension in you that you know not. And when I bring it, it shall become a center of attraction to everyone that will see you. There is a you in the inside of you that only God can pull out.
Presence, Lord.